Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Steelcase Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Jain from Orient Capital, their investor relations advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Steelcase Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rushil Tamboli, Whole-time Director, Mr. Subhash Sharma, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Umesh Bhat, Company Secretary. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number two of the investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website as well. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Tamboli, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to the investors' call for the results of Q1 FY25. We find ourselves navigating a landscape profoundly shaped by global geopolitical shifts, the ongoing conflicts and escalating tensions in the Middle East, upcoming elections in the U.S., and evolving political scenarios in the U.S. and U.K. are all poised to influence the global economy's trajectory. Major central banks have hinted at potential rate cuts throughout the year, yet the persistent challenge of inflation remains. During our Q4 FY24 call, we anticipated subdued growth of Q1 FY25 and also Q2 FY25. While we did experience a revenue degrowth on a year-on-year basis, primarily due to liquidation of inventory in North America and Europe, however, we remain steadfast in our optimism for a performance turnaround starting from Q3 FY25. We very strongly believe that Q2 FY25, in all probabilities, will be the bottom for the year FY25, and we should be on upward trajectory starting from Q3 FY25 onwards. In Q1 FY25, we reported a revenue of approximately 78 crores. Despite this slowdown, our commitment to managing operating expenses allowed us to maintain good EBITDA margin of 26%, exceeding our guided margin of 21%-22%. This strong performance is a testament to our continuous efforts to optimize costs during challenging times. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at approximately 20 crores, with a margin of around 26%. Our PAT for the quarter was 13 crores, with a PAT margin of 16.3%. Our revenue split between exports and domestic sales was 51% and 49%, respectively. We experienced volatility in both markets due to global inventory liquidation and a slightly slowdown in the mining construction equipment sector. The domestic mining and construction equipment industry reported a 5% growth in April-June quarter, hindered by a slowdown in new project awards due to general elections in the country. However, we are very optimistic about the government's sustained focus on infrastructure development, which is expected to ramp up new project awards and faster volume increases than anticipated in H2 FY2025. Amid this challenging macro environment, we have remained focused on our strategic initiatives to cultivate new customer relationships and expand our export markets from 15 to 18 countries over the next few years. We have diversified from mining focus and construction sector, including the railroad business, which we aim to grow from 3% in FY24 to 20% in the next few years. Additionally, our focus on ground-engaging tools is set to show improvement, and our venture into the defense sector has seen us complete deliveries of critical components, making us the first company to develop such components for defense. Over the years, we have repaid all our short-term and long-term debts and are now focusing on using internal accruals to fuel our CapEx starting from FY26. The increasing adoption of China Plus One strategy by customers is also a positive development, with companies like American Railroad Firm seeking to supplement their supply chains from non-China countries, bolstering our entry into the railroad sector. Despite the current global economic headwinds, including war, inflation, and significant elections, Chilcas has successfully implemented strategies for cost optimization, exploring new sectors, advancing technology, and focusing on new export markets. Our resilience, aided by Indian government support for CAPEX, positions us well for the future. We believe that the measures we have taken over the years will prove instrumental in driving our success in the coming 2 to 3 years. On behalf of Steelcast and behalf of our finance team, I want to thank you all for joining this call. However, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sahil Sanghi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations for still reporting a decent set of numbers. Now, my first question is, sir, can you give me the volume number for this quarter?
In the first quarter, April-June FY25, we have done 2,635 cars.
Sir, so that should imply some bit of correction on the pricing also, the realization?
In the last two quarters, there have been some reduction in the input cost. So the price reduction is to the extent of 1.5 to 1.75%.
That's quarter on quarter or YOY?
A quarter on quarter.
Got it, sir. And what was the contribution from American Railroads in this quarter?
I think in terms of percentage of the total sales, it will be about 2.5%.
Got it. And just wanted to understand the further trajectory when it comes to the realizations, because we are seeing steel prices correct in the last few weeks also. So are you expecting some bit of more pricing correction?
No, I think we believe the input prices are somewhere near the bottom. It's unlikely to go down now. And if at all, they might be on an increasing trend from the third quarter onwards.
Right. And the margin correction was largely because of the pricing pressure and the fixed cost because of the lower utilization?
I think the main significant reason is the lower utilization. Otherwise, in terms of gross profit margins, PAT margins, we are on track and we should perform once the volume increases.
Got it, sir. And just wanted to confirm one thing. You did speak about some kind of product you developed for defense. Is there some meaningful development on that front over and above what we discussed in the last phone call?
We are waiting from Ministry of Defense to float out new tenders. So as and when the new tenders, we'll be bidding for it. And as of now, we are the only ones who have developed this part. So we'll be competing with some foreign companies for this part. So this part is being imported now. So we are hoping that these tenders come out as soon as possible so we get some advantage of those volumes in the current FY25.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good afternoon. Sir, just continuing from last question, can you specify the part which you have developed for the defense? We were supplying tracks and what new part are you talking about?
I'm extremely sorry. You know, these are confidential things. When we meet personally, we can, you know, further interact on it. We can show you also those parts. But because of confidentiality, we can't talk about the exact specific parts. Please excuse us.
No worries, sir. We are saying that Q3 there would be improvements. So do we have any order book or production schedule in our hands which gives us the comfort that Q3 will be better for us?
Yes, our order books have gone up in the past 1 to 2 weeks. After interaction with practically all our customers, we have got forward indications for the month of October, November, December. So putting all these things together, why we believe that we will be on an uptrend from Q3 onwards, and which we'll see when we have a investor call after the Q3 results.
Okay, got it. And sir, I had two questions on the annual report. So you have mentioned that we are looking to do capex to make larger weight items. And then we are looking to make parts which our customers do and enter into next stage of products which are addressed by only few global foundries. So basically we are looking to move up the value chain. So can you please highlight what all we are doing in those lines?
I think 2 quarters back, we had also reported on company's website also, as well as on the stock exchange also, that there are 4 projects we've been working on. The soft work has already been over. And one of those projects is to make heavier piece weight. Other is to have additional capacity of 10,000 tons. Third thing is to go into ground engaging tools. Now all these projects, actually the soft work is already ready. So once we see some visibility from different customers, we will trigger these investments one by one. Which one will fructify first, at the moment we have no idea. But the efforts are on for all the 4 projects which we have been working on. And we also expect the utilization to go to about 75% in FY26. So additional expansion will trigger then.
Okay, got it. And on the productivity part, we have said that we target to improve it by 25%. So what are the further levers that we have? We have said automation, but can you highlight more on what are you planning to do to improve the productivity?
In terms of automation, by and large, we have finished doing whatever is possible in terms of automation. There is a constant drive towards improvement of productivity, better layouts, the lean manufacturing setup. So year on year, we will definitely see increase in productivity levels. Only thing is for the year FY24, when the volumes were lower, in fact, the productivity went down lower because we have not retrenched any people. We have retained all our people. I don't remember about this 25% increase in productivity level when did we speak. But we will see year on year definitely 7 to 8% increase in productivity level.
Understood. Okay, got it, sir. I have more questions. I'll come back in the... Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Chetan bhai. And thanks, doing wonderfully in challenging time.
Thank you, Bharat bhai.
I just want to get sense I don't want any much detail on this defense part, but if you can give some color, see what is the kind of a potential that we see in this business, what you spoke that you are expecting some kind of a tender. So, and will it be a regular business or one business, then again you have to wait for. So if you can give little more color, the total potential of this business.
See, the potential of the parts which we have developed might be in the region of 60 to 65 crores. And these are parts of combat vehicles, which are being imported now.
Okay.
Now, the question is, we have no idea on what inventory the army has. But we have been told that there will be a new tender coming up and we can participate in it. The question is now time, when will it come out and when we will bid for it? But so let's hope for the best that this is done as soon as possible so we get some volumes out of this business.
A reminder to all the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The participants that were in queue, please press star and one again to ask your questions. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sorry, Chetan bhai, my call got dropped off and I was disconnected. Hello?
Yes, please, Bharat bhai, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I mean, you said that it is a 60-65 crore, and then my line got disconnected. So if you can.
So the potential for this part is maybe around 60-65 crores. So, but we'll have to see. We don't know what inventories the army will have. We have no idea on it. So, we'll have to wait till we see the tender document and then we'll be bidding for it. And we are hoping that this tender is out immediately, open, then followed by opening immediately, and we getting an order immediately thereafter. So let's hope for the best that we get to deliver some part of that, in the current financial year.
Okay. And second, you said, I mean, expanding country from, say, 15 to, I mean, three more countries there. So what is the status of that? And again, for those countries, we are working for the same component currently mining, or it will be a different industry we are targeting?
For these three countries, from 15 going up to 18, we already have trial orders for new parts development, and these are from the construction industry, not from mining or earthmoving, but these are from construction industry. So hopefully we develop those parts in the current financial year, so we'll do some volumes in the next financial year. But we want to at least cater to about 25 countries in the world. This is my smart goal, Bharat bhai. So we should reach 18, hopefully in the early part of next year, and our drive to increase this footprint of steel cast to 25 is an ongoing and continuous process. And also our focus on railroad is pretty much on track. And as I said earlier on this call, that from 3% sales to the railroad industry in FY 2024, we want to get to about 20% in the coming 2 to 3 years' time. So I can say, our direction is clear, the path is clear. The question is now the time and the execution.
Great. And second, I mean, is, I mean, if one has to look at, I mean, this is a good diversification, but realization-wise and profitability-wise, is the same at par with the, this mining equipment, or it may, it is little lower?
No, as we've been, Bharat bhai, as we've been seeing on conference calls and also investors whenever they visit, that we are aiming at 21-22% EBITDA across all parts. We may get sometimes more, we may get sometimes less, but our aiming is 21-22, and then we manage 3-4% by way of, you know, different cost reductions, exchange benefits, and things like that. But so the direction is also clear, and we are quite focused on this.
Okay, great, and all the best, sir.
Thank you, Bharat bhai. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Saha from DR Choksi Finserv Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. You may go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for taking my question and good afternoon, everybody. Chetan sir, first of all, thanks and congratulations to you for showing such resilience in this quarter despite such challenging times. The kind of resilience you have shown, that's really commendable. Sir, just one thought process I'm trying to understand. If we see Steelcast comparing where it was being mining focused company now. Diversified into mining, construction, earth moving, defense, railway, right? So that particular thing has taken place over the years, and there is a very good diversification that we have done. Now, going ahead, if you further enter and diversify into other segments, you constantly do R&D, right, and spending some amount of money on research. What is your thought process whenever you are thinking about getting into a particular industry, and how the organization thinks before entering into any new particular vertical or a particular sector? Because definitely you have your capabilities focused in a particular industry. Now, when you move to another one, how do you think about it before making that the decisive call? This is my first question, sir.
So, Steelcast has been now, so far was focused on mining, earth moving, and then to some extent construction. We have added four or five different industries. So, the industries we cater to are now close to about nine. We don't plan to add any more industry at this point of time. Our focus is, other than the three major, we'll focus on the four, where the volumes have to go up from 1-2% to anywhere from 10-20%. With railroad, we want to hit 20%. So there are industries like locomotive, this ground engaging tools. So within this 5-6 industries, we want to grow more compared to the base industries what we've been doing. So to answer your question, we don't plan anything at this point of time to add another industry.
Well, and that's really fair. I think the kind of trajectory you have taken and your continuous focus to grow the muscle in the existing segments you have entered would be more prudent and the same prudent strategy. Cheers to that. So another thing, now we being also a material player in the export segment, right? What kind of movement you are seeing on the trade side? What are those challenges given the geopolitical structure that is there? And I know it's difficult to call out whether it is going to be structural shift or transitory, but just trying to understand, sir, how is your thought there? Because we have been seeing this for quite some time. Though we are expecting, not Steelcast as a company, but the industry all around. What is your sense, sir? How these things are turning around?
Are you talking about the geopolitical situation or some other thing?
The freight part, that the challenges you are facing on the freight side, because you are exposing on the export, so you have to do that transport part. Right. So yeah. how challenging those things have become compared to and how quick you expect certain turnaround? Or is this at all expected or going to be the new normal probably?
Okay, I think you may not be aware, but there are many investors who are aware that since 2019 onwards, we changed our policy that we will sell on ex works basis only. So any increase in freight costs which that happens directly to our customers, we are not being affected. But that doesn't mean we are happy about it, because at some point if the freight costs go very high, then it may not become viable to buy from India. So as such, this is not affecting us. Yes, but what is affecting us is the voyage time between India and the countries we export. that has increased significantly. So with that result, there are shipments getting delayed. Customers are also worried about, you know, on time things getting it. But I think by the end of the calendar year, whether it's Russia-Ukraine war or the Middle East tensions or things like that, they should all subside and we should, the world should be more more peaceful, effective January 25. This is my personal intuition, you call, or my personal what I feel might happen.
Got it, and that's really helpful, sir. Thank you. One last thing before I wrap up from my end. So on the railway side, initially you gave a guidance of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around 5% for FY25 and keep on increasing it on the subsequent years. So are we still sticking to those kind of numbers for the full year?
Absolutely. I just said that we want to get to 20%, so that's the goal for FY28. So you should see, should keep seeing improvements, you know, year on year when we move forward. And maybe at some point of time, we will also report on the stock exchanges and also in the annual reports of our industry-wide sales year on year. We'll give the past data and also the likely future projections also.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Thank you, sir. And all the best for
your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Praneet from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
So one thing I was curious about, you are insistent about adding more customers across different industries other than mining itself. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I think we are still very mining concentrated, right? Earth moving and all of that. So are you not planning on onboarding customers little away from the mining industry itself? Like right now, we ventured into construction and locomotives. So are we on the same tangent, are we going to onboard more other industries? Or like are we planning on changing some of our mix to take the risk away from mining industry on itself?
No, no. As I said, the major concentration is within three industries, but we have added six more a few years ago. So the focus is how do we increase customers in those six? And that's a continuous and ongoing process. We will keep adding more customers in the six different industries than what we have been before. And the efforts are also on that even in the existing industries where we're catering, we keep adding customers in those industries also. So the idea is to become more and more broad-based and make the company significantly risk-free. So like in the past, we used to have uptrend and downtrend, you know, 30-40%. That has been reduced to, you know, 10-15%. In next 1 or 2 years, we want the variation just to be 4-5%. And that happens only when the company is broad-based with new customers or more customers in every industry. So that the process is on, the path is clear, the direction is clear. So we will get there hopefully in the next couple of years.
Understood. So I had one more question along similar lines. In a previous earnings call, you mentioned that our products are 25% cheaper than the European products that are made. Does that thing still remain to this date? And does this 25% price parity include the freight and transportation cost, the landing cost of the consumer at the particular location, or is it just before all of that?
No, for sure, our costs are definitely 25-28% lower, and these are all comparisons based on landed cost at the customer end, which includes all the inward costs in the respective countries, the freight costs, or any other logistic cost. It's all put together. We were lower and we are continuing to be lower.
Understood. One more question on the broad base of the company. So basically in 2013, we had 287 crores worth of sales, and it took almost 9 years for us to reach back to a similar level of 302 crores in 2022. Like in between we reached in 2019, but that was an again spike. So what, like you told you've been onboarding customers throughout this time. So why haven't we seen the changes, like the revenue growth before this?
I think a very good question. If you see 2013, we did the number what you just said, but we also had a huge debt. So we were financially in great difficulty. We almost became an NPA company, but just managed to survive before getting that black spot on the company. So when the company struggles, you know, for all kinds of funds, and when there are survival issues, the focus is more on survival than growth. You know, this is bound to happen for any company in any field. So few years went away in trying to survive. Having survived, we are on the path of we made company debt free, we added more customers. So those things will accelerate now.
Understood. That's a great job by you for doing that. So when I was curious, the sudden drop was the reason because you intentionally avoided few orders to improve the balance sheet, or that customers left us, or they had to refrain from giving further orders? What was the situation?
See, several things happened together. One was huge investments of about 130-40 crores done at the time in FY 11, 12, 13. Two, severe recession in the end user industries we were catering then. So with that, it resulted into lower orders. So lower orders, a very high break-even points, huge liability of people, huge debt, huge interest payment, and the company wasn't broad-based like what we are today. So all this affected us, but we got out of it and the past is left behind, and we will strive to perform what we are envisaging, further making the company risk-free, broad-base the company, keep doing it more and more. So that's the plan.
Okay, understood. So one more question along those lines. Like over time, you told you've improved your quality practices and improved all those factors. Our rejection rate, I think you mentioned in one of the annual reports in 2017, was around 10%. Does the same level remain now, or with efforts we put into improving production practices, has it reduced further?
Sir, we were never at 10%. I don't think I would have ever said 10% rejections. No company will survive.
But it is mentioned in your 2017 annual report.
So 2017 you said?
Yes, 2017.
So we'll check on that. It's about 7 years, so I don't remember now. But anyway, our customer rejects are less than 0.25%. Internal rejections are anywhere from 3 to 3.5%. And these are the levels one has to maintain to be globally competitive. And we will check on this 2017 annual report. If you can give your email ID and your name to Orient Capital, we'll also respond to you.
Understood. Thank you very much about that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
If you don't mind, I have one more question. In your annual report, you mentioned that for replacement parts, you wanted to put another greenfield facility. So what is the reason for having a new facility and like expanding the existing ones to serve the replacement market? And one more along the lines of replacement market, like have we not been putting efforts into finding replacement market, like products for replacement market, or like if we are not serving them, who are serving them at the moment? And how is the competition from that side?
The parts for the replacement market can be made in the existing facility, right? But the replacement market is very competitive. The layout and the facilities have to be slightly different if you want to be globally competitive for replacement parts. So we are talking to few big companies for a long-term contract. And if that fructifies, we will put up a dedicated facility for this replacement part. Though, as I said, we can make in the existing company, but once you want to be globally competitive, you might need to have a dedicated facility.
Got it. But like this, like we had a like 1% replacement revenue contribution like 4 or 5 years ago, 1%. It has remained from like 1%, and that's I think dropped down to zero at the moment. So like, have we stopped com at the moment? Did we stop completely focusing on it till we put up the new facility, or what has happened for that?
No, at the moment we do cater to replacement market, but through our existing OEM customer. In the past, we used to do that 1% directly. So, in fact, we may be doing close to 10% of the sales in the replacement market, but it goes through our OEM customers. But what we intend to do is significant increase than what we are doing now. The intention is to make the company further, de-risk the company.
Oh, got it. But the thing is, so what is the primary, like who are the primary competitors? Like is it China or is it Europe for replacement market? Like or is it India itself?
The industry where we are focusing now for the replacement market, I think China is the dominant supplier. And but once again, we have selected a product mix where competition to an extent is little less. So in general, China is a dominant supplier, but we have our own space. We have targeted certain products, and we intend to, and we are working on that.
Okay, got it. But thing is, you just told that
Thank you.
the can I come? Is it done or can I complete my question?
Yes, please go ahead.
So I was curious, like you mentioned that in the replacement market, the competitive forces are much higher than the OEM, like the first time OEM market. So I'm curious, like if there's higher competition, the margins will obviously reduce. You have been say, guiding to us that the margins are going to remain around 20-22%, which is very high to begin with. Agreed in casting, that's very high. The thing is, with as the product mix skews towards replacement, as we keep putting more efforts, are you expecting a drop in EBITDA margin, the guidance from 22% to a little lower, or how is it going to be?
No, sir. Our focus will be always whether it is X products, Y products, or Z products, it will be 21-22%. We do not want to do business below that.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Time and Tide Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I just have a few questions. I'm not aware if someone already asked this, but what is our capacity?
The capacity utilization for the current year, FY25, will be about 43-44%.
And if I'm not wrong, you are targeting next year to be closer to 75%, right?
I think there is a guidance given on the company's website also, a macro plan, what we plan to do. And if I remember correctly, we will reach 75% somewhere in the middle of FY27.
FY27. Okay. So post that, we will be looking to add our new capacities.
Yeah, somewhere around that area. Once we see a clear visibility that we are getting to 75%, we may do it beforehand also. But as a policy, we really don't trigger this high CapEx in anticipation of something good likely to happen. Once we see this visibility, we will trigger this.
Understood. And so again, since a lot of our revenues are currently dependent on the mining industry, I just wanted to pick your brains a bit to understand what you think about the industry as a whole. Because over the last few months and almost year actually, more mines have been being awarded domestically. So are we seeing any pickup in the industry as a whole or not yet?
See, these industries, once the mines are awarded, these are industries which have very long gestation period. our customers are also quite upbeat on allotment of mines, not only in India but across the world. But you know, from this to change into a good business situation, it takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years' time. So we see maybe from third quarter onwards, mining and earthway industry also likely to do well, and also the other industries also.
And sir, again, to understand this a bit better, one would assume that if mining picks up as an industry, our company should do substantially better than what we are guiding, right? So would that be a fair judgment to make, or do you think that's not how it works?
Why we are saying that the third quarter onward we should start seeing an uptrend, for a couple of reasons. One is the excess inventory in the supply chain, right from our customers, their dealers, or everywhere, that is almost at the end of liquidation. There was a little slowdown from last quarter onwards, which is also likely to end hopefully at the end of second quarter. And as per information from our customers, they see an uptrend happening from the third quarter. So there are every positive factor, and we believe that our second quarter might be the lowest in the coming times.
So I completely agree with what you are saying. I just believe that maybe our guidance, given how the industry is going to pick up, might be a little on the more conservative side. Is that correct to assume?
I would not say it's a conservative side. I mean, it's because these are all predictions are based on information from customers, information from the world market. And so I wouldn't say either it is optimistic or pessimistic or conservative, something like that. I would say these are fair judgments.
Understood. And so apart from the potential...
Shekha, sorry to interrupt.
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, but sorry to interrupt. We would request you to enter the queue for your follow-up question.
I just have a small question. If I can just complete it, it won't take more than a minute.
It's okay. Okay, please complete your question.
So we spoke about our new defense part, which we are currently developing. And apart from this, we also have the Arjuna tank trackpads, which we've developed historically. Is anything else in the pipeline currently from the defense point of view?
No, madam. There's nothing else in the pipeline. We are just hoping to get this, a bid on the new tender which is likely to come. But there are no other parts which we can say that it's in pipeline or so.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jain from SNJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. May I know the current order book for FY25? Hello, can you hear me?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management seems to have disconnected. Please hold while we reconnect. We have the management reconnected. Mr. Nishit, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. May I know who the current order book for FY25?
About 65 crores.
Okay, and out of this, how much can we expect from exports?
Roughly about 52-53% maybe exports, balance will be India.
Okay, that will be all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for your opportunity. Sir, you have mentioned that for the last few quarters, your demand has been depressed because of destocking at your customer's end. So just wanted more understanding on that. So are our products like make to order or are they make to stock? Because destocking generally happens when the product is standardized. I thought in heavy industrial castings, you would be making more make to order kind of products. So just wanted some clarity, like where did we see the destocking and
Our products 100% are made to order. A. B. The same products which are, these are used in new equipment builds also, and these products are used for maintenance also. So there were excess inventories built in FY24 at the customer end and also at dealer end. So at some point, probably when people realize that, okay, they have excess inventories, they will start destocking. So the destocking happens at the customer end also and at the dealer end also. Whatever is going for maintenance purposes, which goes to the dealers, they also started destocking. So though we have special made-to-order products, but destocking happens there also.
Okay, sir. Which industry did we see the destocking happening? The earth-moving industry or like across industry?
Of course, a significant portion happened from mining, earth-moving and construction, but also others also. We kept hearing on this for about 3-4 quarters that this is what is happening. So, which we now get an indication that this is almost over now. And that's the reason we are predicting improved results from Q3 onwards.
Got it. Sir, if I look at your past history, you explained very nicely like in 2013 what the issue was for the next 4-5 years. But there was another phase from like 2020 onwards where our revenues dipped quite a lot. So what happened in that case was that a result of cyclicity in our demand? And as you have said that you've diversified now, so are we unlikely to see that kind of a dip going forward in our journey?
See, if you see FY20 and FY21, these were COVID years. Okay. If you delete these 2 years from the Excel sheet, you will see a steady and moderate growth from FY17 onwards till today. So those dips were because of COVID.
Okay, so final question, sir, from my side. So you said that you are at around 42-43% utilization now, and by FY26 or mid of FY27, you hope to be at 75%. So that looks like a 30% kind of annual growth on volume. So my question is, historically, we have not seen such strong growth. So is this something that we have strong visibility on? And second is, along with volumes, do we expect that realizations will also continue at the same kind of level over the next 2-3 years for this growth?
See, when I say middle of FY27, means you're talking about almost 2.5 years. So that 30% growth you need to distribute between 2 years. So once you do that, it becomes 15%, which is a normal growth. So there's every possibility that this can happen. B, your question on the margins, as I said, we have a policy that we will work and aim at 21-22% margin. We don't want to work below this. We will not be in a hurry to fill the capacities. And we'll work on top line, but we'll equally give a lot of importance to bottom line also.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Tambuli, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining this first quarter investors call. We deeply appreciate your participation. Thank you for asking very, very good and relevant questions. feel free to reach out to us directly or through Orient Capital, who are our advisor, and we look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.